I fall into a trap sometimes with these invitations because I want to say something profound, or I want to share some insight, or give something new, or I want you to think about something you've never thought about, or think about it at least in a way you've never thought about. I don't like to be repetitive. It's one of the reasons I like teaching classes, because then I can sit there and direct the conversation and let all of you think of the profound things. And I actually talk less when I teach class, which some might find welcome. But in a way, we have no choice but to be repetitive. You know how long it takes to read the Bible aloud? If you buy an audiobook of the Bible, how long is it? It's about 70 hours. And so when you consider like Stan's been preaching here for over 20 years, which would be over 1,000 sermons, which means he could have, from the pulpit, read the entire Bible now 4 times. So at some point, is he going to have to repeat himself preaching for 20 years? Of course he is. Repeating yourself isn't inherently bad. It's something I don't like, but it's not inherently bad. The Bible repeats itself. The Bible has 4 Gospels that are telling the same basic story. I think the problem is that I let familiarity cloud the profundity. I want to think of something profound, but I'm letting familiarity cloud that. Stan could have read the entire Bible 4 times from the pulpit, but how many more times have I read the Bible at home? And anyone that's here that's been a Christian for very long, I'm sure, has read the Bible through at least once, and the equivalent of the Bible, though they may have skipped Numbers. People like to skip it. But the equivalent of the Bible several times. And then there are passages that we turn to even more often that are even more familiar with us. So I find myself not wanting to use passages like John 3:16 or Acts 2:38 or Mark 16, Acts 8. Because familiarity has bred contempt. And it's not that I hate these passages, it's that if I'm not careful, I perceive them as bland because I've consumed them so many times. I'm not consuming them on a fresh palate like the first time I read them. And it ought not be that way. Because you know what is profound? There is a powerful creator of all the universe. That's profound. Jeremiah 10:12. And that powerful creator of all the universe cares about you. John 3:16. He wants you to be safe. He wants everyone to be safe. 2 Peter 3:9. He sent His only Son to provide you a way to be safe. That's profound. Again, John 3:16. And He's shown the path to be saved. Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, others. These are very profound things. When you look at these verses, and these common verses, and you put them all together, John 3:16, 1 John 4:19, 2 Timothy 4:8, John 14:15, John 15:10, Mark 16:15 and 16, Romans 10:10, Acts 2:38. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We love Him because He first loved us. There is laid up a crown of righteousness to all who have loved His appearing. If you love Jesus, you will keep His commandments. If you keep His commandments, you will abide in His love. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And John, writing to Christians in 1 John 1:9, says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Paul tells us in Galatians to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you have need of anything at all, come forward while we stand and sing.